Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, recycling trade publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guests are Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn and Friends Online at lauralynn.tv, and Salim Mansour, professor emeritus at Western University. Laura Lynn and Salim will be headlining the Let Freedom Ring Tour in BC and Alberta from September 7th through September 23rd. Laura Lynn and Salim, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you again, Jim.
Starting with Laura Lynn, can you tell us about the Let Freedom Ring Tour?
Well, this is something that is going to be spectacular. You know, really, it was Mark Friesen, grizzly patriot, and a true patriot for this country that had first said, you know, let's do this tour. And we were all excited. We got 20 dates set up. And then all of a sudden, he was called to the by-election in his riding in Saskatchewan. And so I believe that's provincial politics, if I'm not right there, Salim. And so he was suddenly out of the tour. And he said, well, he texted me and says, did you want to go ahead, you know, without me? And I pretty much immediately said, no, actually, not really, because he had been doing all the legwork and I hadn't had to do anything. And I was excited that I was going, but I didn't want to, like, take over, you know, all the problems of this. And within about 2 to 3 hours, I just felt bad. I felt like I don't know if we can wait till the spring, because he had suggested maybe the spring. And so I made a couple of calls and I found out that people were so disappointed that we were not coming, because they're getting the word that Mark's out of it. And when they heard that maybe I'd be interested in continuing, and that only came about because it was like, well, is it right to just not do this? Because the people of Canada need to gather. And so then I called Salim, and Salim had to, you know, go through all of the, you know, permeations, and here we are, and we're going to do it. And the Let Freedom Ring Tour began with Mark Friesen, but it really is about freedom for our country. Freedom is not a bad word, and I am sick and tired of both the United States and Canada, the left-wing media, turning the word freedom into some kind of bad word. So we are going to let freedom reign.
Salim, what's your position here on the Let Freedom Reign Tour?
Yeah, this is Salim. You know, I mean, Laura has just spelled it out, you know. I mean, I am with Laura. In other words, we are on the same page all the time, most of the time. Freedom, you know, is a fundamental, and that is being washed out from our culture, our civilization, our country. And that means in the absence of freedom, in the void of freedom, we become robots at the end of puppeteers. And that's what the whole agenda of the globalists are. To turn us into robots, you know, and then digitalize us and cancel us as they want. So we have to push back. We have to resurrect the concept, the notion of freedom. We have to make the people demand and active that freedom, which is God's gift to mankind, is not for barter or for sale, or to be taken away from any one of us as God's children.
Laura Lynn, you've been traveling in the U.S. How are things in the United States compared to Canada?
Well, it's pretty rough here, too. People are feeling a lot of pressure. We've got the Build Back Better buddies, Joe Biden and Trudeau, wreaking the same havoc on both countries. First of all, unsecured borders. The inflation rates are over the top. They are going after the farmers. We've got a water shortage of all places in, was it Jacksonville? A problem with their water? Yeah, going on there. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my husband because we discussed the news all day. And we've got Biden, you know, absolutely standing for principles that he never stood for before until he got to be woke and got into his presidential puppet position, where he is now doing the verbiage and the work of the globalists. And I think we're in a lot of trouble. So I'm pretty sad, actually, to see that that's the case. The one big difference I see in the United States of America was because they lost the 2022. The Republicans, 2020, the 2020 election, because the 2020 election was compromised, whatever happened there, they have been a nation brought to the end of themselves in a very desperate way. And that desperation, I'm not certain, has reached Canada yet. We're beginning to get there. We're beginning to see that Canadians are now traumatized, they're afraid, and they're their eyes to the fact that Trudeau is probably some sort of sociopath and has got the worst plans for our nation. They're waking up to it. America is already awake. They are securing their elections. They are going about to do things that will prevent any kind of hanky-panky going on with elections. They are doing things to get engaged in their local communities as well as in their states and then federally.
Laura Lynn, we heard you were at Mar-a-Lago. Did you meet President Trump?
I absolutely did drive through Mar-a-Lago, but I was blessed to be at a fundraiser where Trump made an appearance, and that was in Bedminster, and it was epic. I would say there was about 150 people there. It was a private dinner, a fundraiser for one of the candidates, an African-American woman that he now supports. She was absolutely beautiful, a very stunning woman who gave an epic sort of report on how kind Mr. Trump had been to her, how he had even taken time to call her when her mother had passed, and it was absolutely stunning. I was also blessed to be able to be called on by Donald Trump as we all asked questions. There were many hands raised and he called on me. And I was able to tell him that my father, whom I love dearly and who passed away last October, one of the things that my dad said, he said, history will live to show that Donald Trump will go down as one of the greatest presidents of all time of the United States of America. And Mr. Trump gave a wonderful smile, and he said, well, I think I would have really liked your father. And then I followed up by saying, sir, do you think that you have a greater understanding of the swamp now because of what happened in 2020? And he looked at me with piercing eyes, and there was a serious tone and a serious look to Mr. Trump's face, and he said, the swamp is much deeper than any of us knew, and we're going to deal with it. And so that was the exchange that I had with Donald Trump, and it really did kind of make my day.
Salim and Laura Lynn, there are rumors Justin Trudeau is going to call an election in the next few weeks. What are you hearing?
Well, like yourself, we hear rumors, and I don't know how much one needs to put weight upon the rumors. But if he does call an election, which will be within a matter of what? Now, we had one in September 2021, so this is September 2022, within a year, or in that period of time. We'll see, but I think if he does call an election, he will be expecting a repeat. He will be expecting that he will carry through, perhaps he will get a majority.
Laura Lynn.
And we certainly pray that's the truth, Jim, if I could just share that. I'm trying to figure out, Trudeau thought that he was going to get a majority last time, and he was not successful, and he's had to bow down to the NDP and get Jagmeet Singh on board with him. But let's say he's thinking about calling an election. I don't know if it's that he thinks he's going to get a majority this time, because his approval ratings are spiraling downward. Nobody likes the man. He can't go anywhere without getting eggs and tomatoes and names thrown at him. And so I don't see how he thinks he's getting that. I am beginning to wonder, there are cracks in Justin Trudeau, and I don't know if this is true. I would definitely think that Salim is a much better judge of this situation, but I've never passed this past Salim, and I always think that he knows whatever is going on in this country. But I'm wondering if there are cracks in Justin Trudeau's armor, and that he might have his sights set on something else, like perhaps a position with the WEF, maybe, or he just doesn't want to be called names anymore, because we know he's a narcissist. We know that he wants to have the approval of all the people. And what does he have? Nothing. He has no approval of the people. Even the CBC is questioning, why do we still have this stupid arrive cab? Why are the people that have taken the vaccine have to go through this process of being tracked and traced with the arrive cat? What the heck is going on? We are Canadians. We want freedom. We don't want to have this kind of nonsense going on. And when the mainstream media is even asking questions and becoming enraged, quite frankly, I think he has a problem. So the only reason I can see he would call an election is maybe he's done. And he's ready to move on to his next position in life.
Yeah, Laura Lynn, if I may step in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. I agree with you. But the reason I said that he might get a majority is that is what the expectation of him and his people around are.
Yes.
And the reason the backstory if there is a backstory that we might put it in terms of contextualizing this rumor, it is because as winter comes, both here and, of course, across Europe, things are going to become even more dire, you know. And as things become even more dire, we're going to see upheaval taking place in Europe, and that upheaval will come into North America with the November election in United States. And so he might, you know, he and his advisors and counselors might take a bid to go before the upheaval, you know, that is about to hit the Western world.
Yes.
If a snap election is called, Laura Lynn, would you be running, or would you have more impact by endorsing candidates?
I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think I will run, and I think I will go against Jagmeet Singh again, and that will be in Burnaby South. Jagmeet Singh, you know, came to our area. I ran with the People's Party of Canada, and I would do so again. There is no other leader I can depend on in this country than Maxime Bernier, and he has shown himself to be on the right side of every issue for years. Years. He called out the corruption of the CPC. The CPC rejected Professor Salim Mansour because, I don't know if they called him an Islamophobe or what, but he had made, some comments and had opinions about certain things that were very valid. And the Conservative Party of Canada has rejected pro-life candidates. They have rejected people that stand for our traditional Judeo-Christian values. They have been a sellout party. They have basically been liberal light. And so it's time to go against Jagmeet Singh, I believe. I got 10.65% in the last go, and I will absolutely surpass that in this next go-round. People actually know my name this time. Last time I was, some people knew me, some people didn't, but I think I'm far more known at this time, and I will go to bat against him, and I will stand with Maxime Bernier.
Salim, are you going to run for office?
I haven't yet given that much of a thought, you know. Ontario is a completely different place from Western Canada. My view is that if Canada is going to be saved, it is going to be saved by people like Laura Lynn and the people in the West. Voting out just about every member of parliament that represents the four parties. But that's not going to happen in Central Canada. Central Canada is totally, totally closed off. It is controlled by the cabal, that is the Liberal Conservative NDP cabal. And we are over here basically in a situation like a blue state in United States, California or New York. It is absolutely hopeless. But I haven't said no, and we'll think about it if the time comes.
Salim, is the elephant in the room for elections at all levels of government in Canada concerns over election fraud?
Yes, there is. Now there is. I mean, in the sense that those people who are waking up or who have been paying attention to what happened in 2020 in the United States have similar concerns. But the problem is that it is only limited to those people who are following events. The vast majority of the people are uninformed, misinformed, disinformed. The media is controlled by the oligarchs, controlled by, in this case, if you recall, Mr. Godart, just before the 2019 election, Justin Trudeau and the Liberals paid out $600 million to buy out the media. And that continues. So the media is now the propaganda arm of the World Economic Forum cabal in Canada. And so the understanding about how secure our elections, electoral system is, election system is not widespread. At least that's my understanding and that's my view.
Laura Lynn?
Yeah, I would say, you know, Jim, I have to remind everyone that when Maxime Bernier went up against for the leadership, now this was an internal thing, I get that, but when he went up against the Andrew Scheer, there was too many votes for the number of people that were registered with the Conservative Party of Canada. And somehow, Deloitte and Touche were told, we gotta, you know, and knew, we have a problem here. There are too many votes in the system for the amount of people registered to vote, and this is giving Andrew Scheer a win, and there's a problem. And they went to the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada, and they said, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. And that night, they scrubbed all the votes. This is well known. It was talked about on the CBC and CTV for quite a while after, and I still have those clips saved in my archive. And basically, Andrew Scheer won the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada with too many votes and a fraudulent-looking problem going on. And they said, no, 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 don't worry about it. And the votes were gone by the next morning. That is a fact. And I think that it not only can happen right in the middle of the Conservative Party of Canada, which has shown itself to be completely corrupt, it can also happen in our nation. I don't know how Trudeau keeps getting what he's getting. If it could happen in the United States of America, why not here? I refuse to be silent on that.
What I didn't understand about the Conservative battle was that they had to sign an agreement saying that they wouldn't legally contest the results. And right after the vote, all the ballots were destroyed. If you're running an honest election, why would you do that?
100%, Jim.
Exactly, exactly. We as member of the Conservative Party, I'm speaking here about myself, we were involved in the election. For 12 ballots, Maxime was leading. And then suddenly on the 13th ballot, he lost. We all know the story of what happened with the dairy farmers in Maxime's riding being signed up at the last moment, you know, with the mail-in. And that was a huge chunk of the 7,000 vote that came in the 13 ballot, and people have ever since been wondering why was the ballot destroyed? Why wasn't it submitted to a recount?
Salim, how come so many members of the World Economic Forum managed to end up in positions of power in Canada, federally, provincially, and municipally?
Well, this is not, this hasn't happened overnight, Jim. This is a process that extends way back over a period of time, you know, into the heights of the Cold War. I mean, the World Economic Forum was formed in 1970-71, and Klaus Schwab was handpicked by major players like Henry Kissinger, John Kenneth Galbraith, Herman Kahn, and others, you know, to run this. So this was a recruiting agency for an agenda that also stretches back at least to the end of the Second World War. But if you want to get into the history of that, that is a progressive agenda that goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson, World War One. You know, so the agenda of the Council for Foreign Relations, the agenda for the Bilderberg Group, later on the World Economic Forum, the Trilateral Commission, all of these are different faces of that progressive agenda to put in place in the world. That is a globalist agenda of a borderless world, and one world government. The experiment was launched immediately as the Cold War ended with the European Union. European Union came together in 1993-1994 with the Maastricht Treaty. So what I'm saying, without getting too deep into the historical background here, this was a recruiting agenda. I mean, the current Prime Minister's father was a member of the Club of Rome. Everything that you want to know about the Great Reset, which people need to read, but they don't read, the media needs to talk about it, but don't talk about it, all of this was laid out over this period, going all the way back to the 1960s, 1950s, okay? So this recruiting agency struck the people, provide them with the support, the money, young people drawn in who have no knowledge and understanding, give them a platform. There's a young global leader brought from all around the world and then put in position, you know, and help to get into politics. It is as simple as that. This is just the mirror image of the Communist Party worldwide, see? So that's what it is. What has happened with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, I mean, Gorbachev died the other day, you know, the last leader of the Soviet Union. The end of the Soviet Union, 1991, December, the collapse. So starting from 1992, you know, the very first Rio summit begins the communist agenda in the name of World Economic Forum. You know, again, I just give you a clip. The whole communist agenda, the seizure of power, 1917, by the Bolsheviks, was to establish the dictatorship of the proletariat in the name of the working class, the working poor. Dictatorship of the proletariat. The World Economic Forum is the dictatorship of the oligarch, but it is again the same control mechanism. That's what the European Union is the ground. That is what led to eventually Brexit. That is what led to the rise of President Trump, you know, America first. That is against the globalist agenda. But in Canada, we have every single party that is represented in the parliament in Ottawa and in the provincial capital a part of the cabal. The only man who stands outside in the party that stands outside is Maxime Bernier and PPC. And that is why he is deplatformed and is estranged. That is why people like us cannot speak. We have no platform in the mainstream. And so people are confused.
Salim, are all the
100%.
Salim, are all the establishment parties in Canada connected to Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, and Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, where you apparently will own nothing and be happy about it and eat bugs?
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. I mean, look, I mean, the last conservative prime minister was hosting the Bilderberg Conference in Ottawa. He was the host of the Bilderberg Conference in Ottawa, Stephen Harper. He went to Davos and was singing, you know, hallelujah to Klaus Schwab. These are all on record. But they're going to do the two-step, which is what Pierre Poilievre is doing. That, you know, I will have nothing to do with World Economic Forum's agenda. Well, you might not have anything to do with it, Mr. Pierre Poilievre, while you're running for a leadership, but your party is deep in that swamp. They are the ones who signed. It was Stephen Harper, Brian Mulroney before him. They signed on to the Millennium Goal. They signed on to UN Agenda 2030. They signed on to the SDG program, Sustainable Development Growth. They signed on to every single agenda item that comes out of the Davos crowd, pushed through the UN with the support and the vote of the European Union. And the people, that is the political leadership of the third world countries, lined up behind them with the promises of money. What is foreign aid? What is Mr. Trudeau doing with foreign aid? His foreign aid is what Ron Paul so brilliantly described, the father of Senator Rand Paul. Foreign aid is taking money from the poor people of a rich country and giving it to the rich people of a poor country. Since 1945, beginning of decolonization, all the aid money that has been spent in Africa, Latin America, and Asia, what is the evidence that that money that was taken from the poor people of rich countries, Canada, United States, Europe, went to bring about development in Africa or in Asia or in Latin America? The evidence is almost next to zero. Development cannot be taken place by these handouts. It has to take place with the mobilization of people, with freedom, with democracy, and so on. But that is not the agenda. So yes, to your question, every single party, it doesn't matter what they say in public to confound and confuse the people. They all are agents of the Davos crowd. The oligarchs own them, body and soul.
Salim, is it a crime for Canadian politicians to be following marching orders from an entity outside Canada?
Obviously not, Jim. I mean, it is an axiomatic question. Do we have a national interest? Well, this Prime Minister, on his election in 2015, in his first interview to the New York Times, said Canada has no core identity and is a post-national state. So there it goes. You elect members to the parliament, or you elect members to your legislature. These members are not in any way accountable to the people who elect them. That is only a charade, a cosmetic. Why are people like Maxime deplatformed by the parties? Because Maxime will speak his mind. I will speak my mind. That's exactly the struggle that is taking place in the United States of America. The difference between Canada and United States is that the American people, at least half of the American people, are ready to stand up and fight because that is their tradition. Canada is a very differential society, and so there are no one ready to fight. What I mean by fight? Fight means to push back, to stand up, to defend your freedom, your fundamental rights. Do we have any fundamental rights? I mean, what happened in Canada in 2022 demonstrates that our Charter of Rights and Freedom is simply paper. It's cosmetic. It has no substance. It was stripped away just because the Prime Minister felt that it has to be stripped away with the Emergency Act, and there went the entire Charter of Rights and Freedom.
Salim,
there was no opposition.
Salim and Laura Lynn, what are SDGs and why should we care? Because you mentioned SDGs. What are they?
Yes, go ahead, Salim.
Well, SDG, what does it stand? ESG. SDG is for Sustainable Development Goal. That is the UN agenda. I got confused on the telephone. ESG is the environmental, social, and corporate governance. That's the agenda of the World Economic Forum that they're pushing through, with the Great Reset. Yeah. But these are simply, you know, various platforms, you know, various ways to mobilize public opinion in terms of globalist agenda.
100%, and you see, Jim, that all of these world leaders signed on to this, and they're systematically at the same thing. Everybody's promoting these electors. Well, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that in other countries as well as in Canada, as well as in the United States of America? We've got this idiot over here in California, a governor basically saying that we all have to move electric cars by, what was it, 2035.
And when they announce in the same weekend, please run your air conditioners as hard because we're having a problem with the electrical grid. I mean, these are fools of the world. They have bought onto an agenda that is going to criminalize the use of our energy that we have in the world that helps us to do amazing things. It helps us to fly. It helps us to travel. The SDG goals of 2035 will basically have all of us staying at home, not traveling. And once we have that stupid electrical car, which is too expensive for most people to be able to even afford, then they can turn off the electricity grid whenever they want to. That's all part of it. All this farming nonsense about CO2 and nitrogen, that's all sustainable development goals. We're in radical trouble. Not only that, but it's also about the transitioning of minors, the LGBTQ agenda, all of it. Diversity, inclusion, which does not include you and my opinions. You know, it's just a sham. And so all of this is being pushed on the world, and it's affecting us. It's very, very dangerous.
If I might add the following thought on this matter, none of this has happened overnight. It stretches, as I said, over a period going all the way back to the mid-60s and 50s. The policies and goals were set, and therefore, the program that played out through our education system, anybody today who's 50 years old is already brainwashed, totally brainwashed. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if carbon is poison and the guy believes it, it is because he's been brainwashed. Carbon is the very foundation of life, you know. So it all began, in a sense, in 1992 Earth Summit when Brian Mulroney signed on. It was, by the way, a Canadian agenda. The man most responsible for the Earth Summit was a Canadian, Maurice Strong. Ask, where is Maurice Strong? Well, Maurice Strong fled to China, lived the last years of his life in Beijing, and died in Beijing. Maurice Strong was the godfather of Paul Martin Jr., the prime minister after Jean Chrétien. Maurice Strong was an undersecretary of the general of the United Nations, appointed by the current prime minister's father, or nominated by the current prime minister's father in the 1980s and 90s. So he was the man who arranged the Earth Summit in Rio. He is the man who began pushing the agenda under the UN umbrella of, man-made global warming, anthropogenic global warming. Now, that term has been dropped for climate change, but that doesn't mean the substance has been dropped. The substance was to basically end the hydrocarbon economy. So this is a controlled demolition. We are at the end phase of that. In like in a Shakespearean drama, we are in Act 5, Scene 2. Act 1 began way back in the 1990s, you know. And so, through the university, through the colleges, through the media, you cannot talk to people in Canada and tell them that what you believe is utter nonsense, because they have been educated into that. And so they have been educated into the whole program of demolishing the fundamental foundational structure of Canada as a Christian society, part of the Christian world. So when Justin Trudeau says no core identity, there it goes. You are a hollow man and you can be filled in with whatever the government decides. So the government decides man can be a woman, and if you question that, you are going to be persecuted. So there it is. Where does it say in the Old Testament or the New Testament that a man can be a woman, and man can be pregnant, and man can menstruate? But in our university, this is what is being taught. I mean, this is what I am saying, and what Laura Lynn is saying. We are not writing fiction. When George Orwell was writing 1984, or when Aldous Huxley was writing Brave New World, almost, 80, 100 years ago, that was fiction. We are living in this world where fiction is now stranger than the truth. truth is stranger than the fiction, okay? So this was a completely orchestrated, controlled demolition of the culture in the West, beginning with in Europe, in Canada, and finally the United States, because the United States would be the biggest obstacle to the communist agenda in terms of World Economic Forum, dictatorship of the oligarch, one world government, borderless government, and all of the policies that they would be instituting, okay? With the most important policy being depopulation. They are the students and followers of Malthus. So for them, population has to be turned down, depopulated. And so we are going to be faced with, as a result of the war in Ukraine, Europe will for the first time will be faced with the specter of famine, of shutdowns in electric power, hyperinflation. None of this is, you know, fiction. It's all right there, coming right into our face. Well, Canada just won. Two steps behind. We will be hit unless we wake up, people wake up and say we have to defend our way of life, our culture, the future of our children. We don't want to be turned into robots of the World Economic Forum.
And that pretty much sums up what the Let Freedom Bring Tour is all about, is hearing from professors like Salim Mansour, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, who will join us for 5 days in British Columbia. And this is what we're telling the people, because we're being shut down on social media. So we're now going to the people prepared to talk about the truth.
Salim and Laura Lynn, are there many differences in ideology between the governments in Canada today and Nazi Germany?
Well, in terms of optics, of course, you know, if you make that comparison, you or I will be called mad. But here it is. I don't know how old you are, Jim. I come from India. I was born in India, in Calcutta. My parents' generation, immediate parents' generation I'm talking to you about, my father, my uncle, my aunt, in my family, they all volunteered during the Great War. They were members of the Royal Indian Air Force, Royal Indian Navy, Royal Indian Army. They fought Indians. There were 2 million Indians that fought the Nazi Germans all the way into Europe as part of the Allied Army and all the way into Japan on the East Coast as part of the Allied Army. We fought. That is my parents' generation. They laid their lives. They put their lives on the line to defend freedom against the Nazis. We have a government today that is in full support of the Nazis in Ukraine. So tell me, explain to me, how is it that we, the children of families who put their lives on the line, many never came back home, fought the Nazis, and today we have the Deputy Prime Minister, we have the Prime Minister, we have the Cabinet, we have the opposition party, they are all singing from the same songbook in defense of the Nazis in Ukraine. So there you have it.
Salim, why did the Conservative Party of Canada reject you running as a candidate?
Well, Andrew Scheer told me that I am an Islamophobe. My writing and my public speaking has been and is going to be represented as an Islamophobe, and that he doesn't want in any way that his party and his campaign be derailed by the accusations that will be leveled at him for having an Islamophobe in his party. Well, I'm a Muslim. I've written about world politics and world economics. I've written about the world of Islam. I know from inside the struggle that is going on in the world of Islam. You know, almost 2 billion people. It's a universal religion, you know, right around the world. Just as the struggle goes on inside Christianity and has gone on in Christianity. And before 9/11, I was talking and writing about these things. Stephen Harper knows that. Stephen Harper knows me in person. But that was not a problem then. But when I put in my nomination paper, it became a problem. So it goes back to it. We, that is Canadian political elite, will do business with terrorists, Who is Jagmeet Singh? He cannot go to India. India is the world's largest democracy. Mr. Jagmeet Singh, as now a member of the government of Canada, he's a coalition partner, cannot go to India because he is associated with the terrorists, or at least that is the allegation, of those who carried out the worst terrorist act before 9/11. That was the bombing of Air India 747. People might have forgotten that. In 1984, all of it was planned and executed out of Canada, out of the West Coast. In British Columbia. And Mr. Jagmeet Singh, he was too young, but his family and his members, and he's involved with that group, cannot go to India because they will not allow him to come. But, you know, we Canadians are happy to have him in our parliament. Same with, you know, Muslim Brotherhood members in the Liberal Party, in the Conservative Party. Well, we are quite happy to have them. But if Salim Mansour questions, challenges, and exposes the ideological and historical basis of these movement and these people, and ask the fundamental question, why is it that our mainstream political party, particularly the two parties that have formed government in Canada since 1867, the Conservative and the Liberal, why is it that they have inside their parties people who neither have any respect for the culture, values, history of Canada, but more than that, they're associated with people who are determined to undermine the very structure, philosophy, value, foundation of this country. And that's what we have seen over the last 50 years. I wrote a book on multiculturalism to talk about this matter. And that's what Mr. Scheer or Mr. Harper or Mr. Aaron O'Toole or Mr. Pierre Poilievre, none of them want those issues to be discussed in the public square. They want to deplatform anyone who would bring these issues to the public square. That's why.
Salim, what are your thoughts on the Conservative Party of Canada leadership race?
It's the same old, you know. The Conservative Party of Canada, after John Diefenbaker, became the B team of the Laurentian elite. So when the Liberal Party goes into a hiccup with scandal or corruption, the stench becomes too great, then there is a flip over to the Conservative Party for that stopgap measure, as we saw with Joe Clark, then we saw with Brian Mulroney, and then we saw with Stephen Harper. And then once the stench is gone from the political weather, climate, the Liberals are back, you see? But when the Conservatives are there in that little stopgap moment of Liberal hiccups, the Conservatives carry out the Liberal agenda. Mr. Pierre Trudeau launched the policy of multiculturalism. Mr. Brian Mulroney put that policy into Canadian statute in 1984, which is a policy now you find in our Charter of Rights and Freedom, Section 27. So you take just about any issue, the Conservative Party being the B team, just does what the Liberal Party, for some reason, get derailed from doing because of the hiccup, and then the Conservative Party is removed. I mean, in 2015 election, Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party were reduced to 48 seats. They were the third party. And yet, as a third party, they were able to become a majority party in the 2015 election, removing Stephen Harper. You know, now if you go into the mechanism and look at this, how did this happen? Why did this happen? Well, the decision was made by the powers to be behind the scenes. These people are simply the pawns on the chessboard, being pulled by the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. So, what I think about the Conservative Party, I was with the Conservative Party. My association with the Conservative Party goes back to Mr. Preston Manning, the Reform Party, when he asked me to come out into the public square. It was because of Preston Manning I stepped onto the public square. And I maintained my association. But I saw over the period of time that it is a closed-door Decepticon party. That's what it is. The last Conservative Prime Minister was John Diefenbaker, who was done to death politically by the people within the Conservative Party. If you know your history, Then you will know people like Dalton Camp and others who basically eliminated Diefenbaker and brought in Robert Stanfield, the good guy, the Nova Scotia premier, who would just be a gentleman and go along to get along with the Laurentian elite agenda. And nothing has changed. That's why we are in such a mess.
Salim, your thoughts on the push for a central bank digital currency?
Well, the immediate thought is once we become digitalized, that's what I said in my opening remark, we can be easily canceled. And so this is the ground. I mean, all our children, my students know more about digitalized economy because that's how all that they know. They've been taught, you know. Once you have a digitalized economy, then you as an individual is simply a number and you can be very quickly erased. That was what we saw in February of this year when Mr. Trudeau came down with the Emergency Act and seized the bank accounts of the truckers. But he quickly withdrew because he let the cat out of the bag much too soon. The signal had not been given by the Davos crowd. But that is what is coming down unless we resist. Well, that is the resistance which Trump stands for. Digitalization, computerization is simply the robotization of the economy and therefore of the society in which the individual is no longer an individual. The individual is a number.
Is there fear that if we have a digital currency that the government, without any supposed legislation, could just cancel whatever currency you have in your pocket because you expressed an opinion they didn't like?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. And a time is coming when people that is in the normal course of living and life is not going to accept the dollar in your pocket. You know, I was like Laura Lynn, I was in the United States just last month, I was with my family on a vacation, and wherever we travel, we got into an Uber, but the Uber would not take cash, because, you know, you call in an Uber, and you are giving him, the Uber, whoever is responding, your credit card number. That's what they want. They don't want cash. So a time is very quickly coming when cash will become obsolete. That's what they want.
We'll have more with Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson and Salim Mansur right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. Laura Lynn, what are you hearing on the devastation being caused by the experimental injections that are in human trials, along with Big Pharma having no liabilities?
Well, that's a big problem, isn't it? If somebody ever wants to sell you something and they say, but just so you know, if this kills you or harms you, I'm not liable for what happens. That should be a red flag, whether you're purchasing a car or whether you're taking an experimental jab. So what we do know now is that we have many doctors in Ontario that have died. This is being reported very well in the independent media, and it is not being canceled by Facebook. And the reason that's important is because Facebook, although I don't like their fact checkers, they do usually get you on anything that is trying to be a negative perspective on the shots or whatever. I mean, they spent the last 2 years covering all the truth of it, and they're no longer doing that. And I find that extremely good, at the same time interesting, and it means that it's all coming out. On the VAERS reports in Canada, the United States of America, the VAERS reports in Canada are pretty much non-existent. You can try to find different little tidbits here and there. But in America, almost 30,000 people have died. Almost 30,000 people have died in the UK. When I looked up kids just under 18, you can read each and every one of these reports, how it happened, when, where, why it's being reported as a vaccine adverse event. And that
is listed by category of ages. And so when I looked up the category of under 18, we've got well over 145 kids that have died from the jab. We have zero reports of kids that have died strictly of just COVID. They always have comorbidities. And so so the jab is definitely killing more kids than COVID. That's where we're at. And we have harms that are being reported every single day. There is a Facebook page that is growing by leaps and bounds, well over 100,000 people. I'll be interviewing him tomorrow. And the name of that page is Sudden Death News. Sudden Death News. You have to be, you know, it's a private group, so you have to be accepted to be in there. The fellow monitors everything that's posted, and basically he's saying this is a place for you to tell us the truth because you won't get it on the news. Just yesterday we had a report, wasn't it, of a young 20-something whose life was taken, and I just heard this from a guy in Nova Scotia, a young athlete who suddenly died, dropped dead, I believe, a hockey player in Ontario. And another one, there is over 1,000 dead athletes in the last 2 years just dropping. I think we have a problem. I think we should be looking at this instead. Oh, no, the jab is safe. Well, you know, if we want to say it's giving you immunity, I guess what they've been able to find in Israel is that you've got 3 to 5 months and then you don't have immunity anymore. And now they're saying that natural immunity, oh, well, after all, it is actually the best immunity and could be lifelong, in fact. And so I don't give any credibility to this. I think that we have a huge problem. We have doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough that are coming out who are world class. They've been on Oprah. They're one of the most written and published doctors of all time. Dr. Peter McCullough, when he starts telling the truth about what's happening with these jabs, well, all of a sudden he's off YouTube. He's not allowed here or there, and he's, you know, losing his, getting his credibility assaulted. And then you've got people like Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, who will be sharing the truth of what he knows. You don't mess with Dr. Roger Hodgkinson's professionalism, and he's traveling with us. We're all kind of spiritual people. Dr. Hodgkinson is more of a, I don't know if you'd call him an atheist, but he's not. He doesn't lean he leans to science. And so when he talks about something, it's because he's seen the facts, the data, the results, the tangible workings of what is going on. And so what's happened is that doctors that are wanting to speak the truth are being told that if you dare to come out about this, you're going to have your license threatened. That's happening in the United States of America now in a certain state. They're saying, in California, if you disagree with any of the CDC or, you know, NIH or WHO guidelines, then you are in danger of losing your medical license. How is that a democracy? So obviously, we're going to listen to these people who have lied, who have been very, very wrong. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Ivermectin doesn't work. Oh, by the way, ivermectin works. CDC, NIH now putting that on their website as of April 2022. Flipping it on. Oh, by the way, yes, we do recommend ivermectin. Doctors were being told that you're going to lose your license if you are giving out ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. In Canada, all the doctors got a letter saying that they were not to do this. I had to save my own father's life, 86 years old, in a Canadian hospital, Surrey Memorial Hospital. Why did I have to do that? Because the doctors were so stupid that they did not even know that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin work. And they told me so. They said, oh, those don't work. I showed up at the hospital the next day with my father near death with an inch and a half worth of material and, the data on ivermectin, peer-reviewed studies on how ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine work. I handed that to them, still with their eyes sort of glazed over, you know, just completely lost it. Our hospitals are being run by lunatics who have caved into political correctness, to politics now controlling science, and it's absolutely wild. I had to give my father, oh shoot, I think my phone's gonna die, guys. Oh no, I still got 10%, Jim, I'm fine. I had to give my father hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin on my own, without the doctor seeing me, so that I could save his life. Within 24 hours of him receiving his first doses, the man was a different person. On the day that my father left the hospital, 86, unvaccinated, he survived COVID pneumonia the day that Colin Powell died. 84, I believe he was, and he was double vaxxed. So do not mess with me about what is going on and the criminality and the senior citizens that have died unnecessarily in the hospitals. And I do believe Dr. Teresa Tam is worthy of being put in jail for what she has done, the crimes against humanity.
Laura Lynn, if you can keep the answers short, we'll make sure we don't have a dead cell here. If people took the experimental injections and now want to eliminate them from their bodies, can they go to a website to get more information?
Yes, they can. Very shortly, we're actually going to be partnering with Zelenko Protocols. Zelenko Protocols are the result of Dr. Zev Zelenko. He was the doctor who recommended hydroxychloroquine to Mr. Trump. He was absolutely right on that. I know, because I've been on hydroxychloroquine for 16 years. 17 now, I guess. It keeps getting higher. But Zelenko Protocols were developed in mind. If you've got the spike protein, this is how you get rid of it. And we will be helping people to get that very, very shortly. It's called Zelenko, Z-E-N.
Laura Lynn and Salim.
Everybody should be on it.
Laura Lynn and Salim, in your circles, are you aware of people who've taken the jabs and then became significantly ill or died?
I certainly am, absolutely. My friend's uncle died. My friend personally ended up in the hospital. I have a lot of deaths reported to me all the time because of the work I do. People write me. I know personally of it.
Salim?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have heard about a few individuals. I have to be careful about their privacy, so I will not mention name. But yes, people have fallen more sick, you might say, after the jab than they were before the jab. And that raises all the sort of questions or all the sort of concerns that Laura Lynn had just spelled out. I would say this. I want to add to what Laura Lynn has just spelled out is as follows. This whole vaccine issue was an experiment that was done worldwide, you know, on behalf of the big pharma. In 1961, the farewell address of President Eisenhower as he left the White House was in his public address warning to the American people and then to the world as a result of it to beware of the military-industrial complex. Today, if Trump is back, it is military-industrial complex plus the big pharma complex in cahoots with the politicians that we have to beware of, you know. This has been an entirely big pharma operation, Pfizer, Moderna, and so on and so forth. They have wreaked havoc while making absolutely gargantuan profits. So these people have to be called forth in an independent commission, something like the Nuremberg style that people are talking about, in Europe, in America, people like, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr. and others. And I think Fauci stepping down, his announcement that he's stepping down from his position ahead of the November election is indicative that if Republicans win, there will be a commission set up to get into all of this matter.
Laura Lynn, is there any light at the end of the tunnel to stop what could be a genocide?
I think the only hope is that we all stand up. And if we do that, I think that'll make a huge difference. We have to not comply. We have to find our people and form communities. And instead of practicing social distancing, we have to practice social integration and connection like never before. And that's part of what we're doing on this tour.
Right.
Laura Lynn, Salim, do you think Canadians and Americans are waking up to what is being done to them?
I think some people are waking up. Yeah, I think some people are waking up, not fast enough for me, but as they are seeing the harms that have been taking place as they are seeing the unnecessary tyranny of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau keeping ArriveCan, what he's doing to the farmers, what he's going to continue to impose on us. I think they're waking up. It has to hit home for every single person. The pain has to hit everybody's life, and then they go, ah, I get it. Something is really happening here. And I think at that point, it's a very good thing if it's not too late.
There is a taboo subject, Kim, and I don't know whether we have the time, but we will talk about it in our tour and have a conversation. But I'll let me drop the subject, and that is global migration. Global migration from the south to the north, global north, which is what is part of the UN World Economic Forum agenda, and which Justin Trudeau signed on to just before the 2019 election. The whole issue of migration is not discussed in the media as it should be discussed, but it is being discussed now, becoming among the people in America. And what it means that as the native-born North American, Canadian, and American waking up or have awakened to the reality of the deep state, to the reality of the World Economic Forum and their agenda, the global migration is designed to overcome and overrun the native population. And that is what is happening. And we have to discuss that and understand that. The hollowing out of North America, Canada and the United States, as well as Europe, you know, when Angela Merkel in 2015 opened the door to European Union of the migration from Africa and the Middle East, this was by design, and the end result of this design is to hollow out the foundational values and foundational ideas of what made the Western world, that is Europe and then North America, a unique civilization.
Salim, crimes against humanity, whose job is it to investigate these crimes and where warranted lay charges, prosecute and punish?
Yeah, I mean, but there has to be forum which will have the legitimacy and the resources to bring the charges of crimes against humanity against those individuals and those institutions that have carried out these various policies that have brought disaster across the world. I think as more and more people waken up, and that's why I say a lot hangs on the November election in America and then the 2024 election. It is the Americans who will have to take the leadership in that sense. But in the absence of America, there is a great rupture that is taking place, which again, we did not get the time to talk about. On the one side is the Great Reset, but on the other side is a great rupture. And that is the major countries of the world, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, plus other countries that are joining the BRIC nation, they are breaking away from the dominance of the Western powers, the Anglo-American world. And I think they are going to organize some platform in which these issues will be brought to the attention of the world.
Laura Lynn and Salim, prior to COVID, did you have any inkling that stupidity is an epidemic?
Well, not to the degree that we know now. It's very unfortunate that common sense has not prevailed, that decisions have been made for political reasons and not scientific reasons, that people have followed what the WEF and that they have used. Klaus Schwab has already fully admitted that they used COVID to advance their SDGs, their Sustainable Development Goals. And vaccines, by the way, are a part of that. And so they've used that. They want to, as Salim was talking about, change the monetary system so that they can turn us off. You know, cryptocurrency sometimes says that, or Bitcoin, that maybe, you know, it's going to be a totally separate thing. That would be wonderful, but if you have no internet, I don't know how you get your Bitcoin. So we'll see what happens. I don't know enough about all that they have planned, and it is a daily learning experience to see the path that is being laid before us and how we have to fight, what we can do, what will work, what won't work. We've already seen some things that we hoped would work. We had the truckers. It was the most amazing thing that I've ever been involved in. It was a literal move of God in our country. It was a move, a solemn move of God. It was powerful people who loved God and country who gathered and stood. And they pelted us with the rubber bullets. It is now time to continue standing, and we need to be wise about how we do that. And that's what we'll be talking about on the tour.
Laura Lynn, where can people find out more about your Let Freedom Reign tour?
Well, it's really easy to go to my Facebook page, Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. Also, you can go to my website, lauralynn.tv. The posters are going up in every city. The Freedom group are just spreading it far and wide. And we're trying to get others involved that don't necessarily think that they're part of this movement. You know, they're just kind of getting some information that's alarming to them, and they're learning. We're encouraging everyone to just bring your friends, your neighbors, those that are searching for truth, to come and hear, because we will have facts. And Professor Salim Mansour is one of the finest historians in this country, and for him to be on this tour is just epic for us. And also, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson comes with nothing but the facts, nothing but the facts. It's a very safe place to bring your neighbors and loved ones.
Laura Lynn and Salim, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jim,
thank you,
as always.
Thank you very much.
My guests have been Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn and Friends Online at lauralynn.tv, and Salim Mansour, Professor Emeritus at Western University. They'll be headlining the Let Freedom Reign Tour in BC and Alberta from September 7th through September 23rd. If you have any questions for our guests or the show, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter at TalkDigitalNet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.